It's good to be here with you this morning. My wife and I are thankful, seriously, to come. This is one of the several churches in Wisconsin that we feel very at home in. And we're getting to know you, more and more names, you know, faces and things. And we do enjoy being here. As one of your missionaries, I'll give you a quick report, but while I'm doing that, you may want to find Ecclesiastes chapter 12. That's where we're going to start. And then you're going to want to be in Matthew chapter 22 also, okay? I forgot to ask the guys back there if this question, so don't listen while I ask the sound guy. Is this being videoed? How far can I wander? All righty, okay. I don't stay put very often. All righty, as one of your missionaries, last year we had a great year, and we were looking forward to a great year this year, and believe it or not, things have happened that we can't control, amen, and things have been a little different. In fact, if it was normal, we would be in South Texas into Mexico at this time, and we would be going to Costa Rica here in a week or two, but none of that's happening. We would have been in Asia twice, and this would have been our second trip down south. So we had a good year last year. We were in Asia. I was there three times. June was there twice. One of the times I was just teaching pastors, and they don't give those airplane tickets away. You understand what I'm saying? So she stayed here. She got to spend grandma time with some of the kids, and I was there three times. We were down in South Texas multiple times. And in the spring, we got to go to New England and ministered there. We were gone like 7 weeks. I counted by beds. We slept in 17 different beds during that time, only one of them bad. And while we were there, we got to meet another people group that we had never been with, Moldavian believers in Western Massachusetts near Springfield. And everybody 40 and up in these churches had been in the old country and lived under communism. And they were kind of, they are, because of that, the older people, they're not real trusting. You kind of have to win them. You understand what I'm saying? And these guys, they would kind of sit there like this. And I thought, how can I get past that? And I told them our story of what happened to us in China. And by the time I was about halfway through that, this turned into this. And I knew I was on the right track, and they knew we had skin in the game, and it went great. We had a great time there. Also, we met an American pastor there in Gill, Massachusetts. I'll give you a quick church history lesson. Moody's Boys Home is in Gill, Massachusetts, okay? So they're in the old town square, and it looks like a Rockwell painting, okay? It just looks like what you would think of an old New England town. And the church there had folded and gone under, and Moody had preached in that building. And it became the Universalist, Unitarian, we don't believe anything church. You know what I'm saying? And they denied the Bible, and the place closed up. Well, there was a mailman that was a believer, that is a believer, that went to a good church. And on his day off, he went through there and started knocking on doors, said, if we started preaching the Bible, would you come? And people said, yeah. And somehow he got the key to that church. And this is a mailman, never been to Bible college. And he's in there teaching the Bible, and people are coming. And the local head of that denomination heard about this, and they were worried about the building because it is the building that Moody preached in, okay? And if somebody gets hurt, they're on the hook. If the building falls down, they're on the hook. And they were worried about what would happen. And they found out that a guy was holding services in there. So they came in, and this deputy or whatever it's called, I'm not trying to be of the denomination, came in and was speaking with the preacher and said, what do you believe? He said, well, I believe the Bible's the word of God, that it's perfect. I believe that when a person is born, they're a sinner by nature, and they get saved by accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, they just about had to put that person on life support. But to make a long story short, they deeded him the building free. Free. And for about 20 years, he's been pastoring this church. And some of the guys that I work with had met him, and one of the Moldavians or two of them were with him. And this guy, our guys were asking him, you know, are you a fundamentalist? He said, I don't know. He said, this is what I believe. Believe just what we believe. Now, you pray about this. If everything goes well, we're supposed to be back in New England this fall. Some of the things were canceled, and stuff like a national ladies thing, and June would have been one of the speakers and stuff and all. But if everything goes well, I'm going to be preaching in that building. Amen. So you pray. The rest of the country can shut down, but Massachusetts can't. Amen. All righty. And stuff for things to happen. But anyway, that's just a quick report. Hadn't it been a crazy year? You know, one day you can do this, the next day you do that. Some people don't take it seriously at all. Some people think they need a NASA suit to walk around, you know, and that kind of thing. You know, some people, I think, take a shower with a mask on, you know, all these different things. Some people won't wear them. It's you know, it's just been nutty. Aren't you thankful you know the Lord? I don't know how people go through times like this without the Lord. And all. You know, if I shouldn't say this, tell me later. But I think it's going to be amazing how well everything's going to be turned after the first Tuesday in November. For those of you that don't know what that is, that's the election date. All righty? And stuff. Anyway, enough of that. Sorry if I shouldn't have said it. I won't say it again today. All righty? October. Ecclesiastes. I was on October a few minutes ago. By the way, do pray for us. We have had to postpone going to South Texas twice this year. We're supposed to fly out the 20th, a week from tomorrow. And that's kind of up in the air. Okay, we got great deals on airplane tickets, and they're with Southwest, which is easy to change. So pray about that. And pray for our son and his wife. They are moving back to the States from Hong Kong, August the 10th. I'm supposed to preach here August the 9th. August the 10th, we're supposed to pick them up at O'Hare. They've canceled that flight already. And things that are going on there in Hong Kong with the new law and stuff, it's really tough. So do pray for them that everything will go well. Okay, how to make your life count. Through my years in ministry, I have had many, many people say to me, preacher, what can I do to make my life count? Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 answers that for us easily. Look at verses 13 and 14 there, the end of the book. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now think about that. It doesn't say part of the matter. It doesn't say the beginning of the matter. It says the whole matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would still our hearts and minds at this time. God, I pray that you would help us to not worry about what's going on in society, but help us to focus on you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be convicted where we need that. Help us to be encouraged where we need that. Give us grace. Help us to respond as you would have us to. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it really is pretty simple what is written here for us to follow. Solomon, writing this under the inspiration of God, gives us very clear direction as to what we should be doing. Our text gives us the key to living a fruitful, satisfying life. Everybody wonders, what's my life going to be like? You know, there's different stages of life. When you're a young person, you wonder what's going to happen. At my stage, you look back. June and I both started Medicare last month. Amen. All righty. And you look back and wonder what happened. And it's like we were young and just turned around and here we are. You know what I'm saying? Some of you understand that. I did not say this. I wish I did. I'm stealing this saying. Somebody said they want their last years to be their best years. And that's what June and I want. We want our last years to be our best years. But everybody wonders, what's going to happen? What am I going to do? What are my goals? What are my dreams? You know, and as Christians, we talk about, you know, for the Lord to come back. I got to confess, when I was in college and stuff, June and I started dating at Thanksgiving our freshman year in college. So I want the Lord to come back, but I want to get married first. And then I wanted to have children. And then I wanted to see my children graduate from high school. Any of you older folks, you know, the mature generation, you understand what I'm talking about? Okay. And then I wanted to see them get married because I thought they might pick a dud and I'd have to help them out. And then I wanted to see grandchildren. I've got all my bases covered. I'm ready now. Amen? All right. Lord, can come back anytime. What's going to happen? What are we going to do with our life? Corrie Ten Boom, who was not Jewish, but her family got caught helping the Jews in Europe in World War II, and she spent time in the concentration camp. She's the only one of her family that survived. And she lived a long time, and she spoke a lot and stuff. And somebody asked her about what happens in life, and she said this: the measure of a life, after all, is not its duration, but its donation. I like that. What are we going to donate? Our society has a lot of takers, does it not? You know, and all of us put somebody in our mind, from politicians to neighbors, as takers. We need to be givers. We need to be donating. None of us knows for sure how long our life will be. None of us has a guarantee that we'll make it back here tonight alive. None of us does. But we can be assured that if we're still alive, God has something for us to do. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Now, God wants us to submit to his plan and then to trust his leading and enabling to be able to fulfill that plan. You know, I hear a lot of people say, God doesn't give us more than we can handle. I don't agree with that. If God doesn't give us more than we can handle, why do we need God? God gives us more than we can handle, but not more than we can handle with his help. Amen? On our own, we don't do so hot. Did you ever notice that? But with his help, it's totally different. You know, people that go to churches like we go to, we say that God loves us, and he does. Does that show in our life? I mean, does it show? We say that God is good all the time, and he is, but do we really believe that? We say that God's way is best, and it is. But does our life show that we really mean that? I mean, when this pandemic thing started, it was serious for about the first month. Since then, it has been nothing but political. Amen? I mean, there are some people that are just ringing their, what are we going to do? We're going to trust the Lord, just like if it wasn't going on. Amen? Now, I mean, it's changed our lifestyle. You get nervous when you go to the store and you can't see toilet paper. Amen? All righty. It's changed our lifestyle, has it not? But do we trust God? Or are we worried, are they going to get a vaccine? And I'm not here to say you should have it or you shouldn't have it. That's between you and God. I'll tell you this. The worst flu I ever had was the last flu shot I got. I was in college. That's just me. That doesn't mean you shouldn't take one. It means I don't take one. Okay? You do what it's between. I'm not preaching you shouldn't have one. That's between you and God. You understand? I think it's interesting. We were in Michigan last Sunday. We got home Thursday night. On Friday, they decreed that you got to wear a mask everywhere. Everywhere. Because there's upticks in the mass count. In the virus count. Primarily in Detroit, Lansing, and Grand Rapids. The three places that they had the biggest protests. You think protests are going to be mentioned? No. Okay, my point is, I'm not trying to be political, but do we trust God, or are we more concerned about the political outlook in our society? I'm going to let you in on a secret. Good politicians are not the answer. And I'm in favor of good politicians, all right? I think we need to stay informed. I think we need to vote right. I think we need to make our voice known. But God is the answer. Our country needs a revival. It doesn't need a vote. Amen, preacher, that's right. Let's try it again. Our country needs a revival, not a vote. Amen. All righty, you believe me, you're with me. All righty. Now, in these two verses, to me, they're an incredible challenge of what we need, and that's where we ought to check our dreams, our life, our goals. The book of Ecclesiastes deals with our attitudes, our goals, and our dreams. It has many practical little statements for us to learn. My favorite verse in the whole book is the first half of Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8. It says this, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." And here in chapter 12, it begins with a challenge to young people. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. And then in just a couple of verses, it goes on and it starts talking about an older person. Those verses were funny 35 years ago. They're not now. And then our text wraps up the entire book. Let's see what we can learn for our lives today. Number one, we need to realize life's aims, life's limitations, and life's possibilities. Aims, limitations, and possibilities. What are our aims? So many people just kind of go through the motions. What are our aims? I mean, God is behind us. He has a desire for us and an expected end that tells us in Jeremiah 29:11. What are our aims? What are our limitations? All of us have limitations. We're limited by age in some cases. We're limited by abilities. I could never stand up here and sing. That's just not going to happen. That is not humility, that is fact. And there's a woman over there that can vouch for this. On my best day, I would never beat Michael Jordan one-on-one in basketball. I'm limited. You know what I mean? And we need to realize those limitations and be real about them. And then there are possibilities. Sometimes we don't take possibilities seriously. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I got saved when I was a sophomore in high school. My whole family got saved within 2 or 3 years of each other. I was the last one. Mom, my sister, my dad, and then me. I was a sophomore in high school. And I hadn't been saved long. And my dad and this man in the church were talking. And this was a family that we got to be good friends with. And my family and that family have been friends for over 50 years. My parents and them have retired in about the same area. They have in the same area. They live a mile apart. My father's name is Grover. His name is Bill. And Bill said, "Grover, I need someone to tell the Bible story on my bus route." They had a church bus route. And I was standing right there. Bill was on my right. My dad was on my left. I was standing right there, and he's talking to my dad. "Do you think David would be interested in doing it?" Now, I didn't grow up in church knowing Bible stories. I'd been saved a few months. I didn't know Bible stories. I didn't know this stuff. And my dad, before I could open my mouth, said, "He would be glad to." Never been a bigger lie told in church. You know, today, parents just let kids make all their decisions. I got a question for you. What is wrong with you? I was 15 and a half, 16. I was 16 when this happened. I got saved when I was 15 and a half. My dad said, "Bill, what time is bus visitation on Saturday?" Bill said it. He said, "He'll be there." I had zero vote in this entire thing. Zero. You understand what I'm saying? Did it hurt me? Not a bit. My mom had gotten my sister some books. I don't even know if they make them today. They were made, it was either Arch or Archway Bible Story books, these little books. And I got one, and I memorized that thing. I wrestled 105 in high school, 9th and 10th grade. I sweat pounds off worrying about this. I took this book on the bus. I opened it up. I showed the pictures and pointed and basically read it to the kids. That's how I got started in the Lord's work. Let me ask you a question. What should you be doing besides making excuses? That one doesn't count. What should you be doing? Life's possibilities. God has something for you. Amen? If you're a believer, God has something for you. Well, I'm old. So am I. Come go with us around the world. I'm too young. Who says? You know what I mean? I'm not good at accepting excuses. We were in a meeting in Kansas, and there was a man there whose wife had been on a mission trip, and I said, "Why didn't you go?" And I'd never met the man before. And he started giving me the typical spiel, and I was just looking at him with my look, and he said, "I don't think you're much one for excuses, are you?" I said, "You got that right." Didn't take them from my kids. Don't like them from other people. We need to be serious. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole. Man, there's not a clock back there. That's a blessing. All right. Listen. It means, the word to hear means to listen intelligently. You know there's a difference between hearing and listening? Kids know that. Clean your room. Hour later, "Did you hear me?" You know? There's a difference between hearing something and listening to it. Life is a trust that God has put into our hands. A trust. Now think about that. God has entrusted us a life. It's a duty to God. It's a duty to ourselves. It's a duty to others. Life is a responsibility for which we will give account. Our actions, our words, our opportunities that we've done and that we should have done. Both. All of these things. Now, here's our response. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's an attitude and an action. It starts off, fear God. People try to explain the word fear away. Fear God. We need to reverence God, absolutely. But we need to fear God. I could have brought 25 verses to read. I've got 5. Psalm 11, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. Doesn't mean you're going to have a 250 IQ. It means you're going to understand what to do. You say, "Preacher, you don't understand my schedule. I'm busy." Well, welcome to life. You know what I have done the last few months? Just sit around and eat bonbons and watch television. No. I have been producing classes to record. Not and a class is 14 lessons, 45 minutes to an hour. And we're starting from scratch. We have to have teacher's notes. We have to have student syllabuses. We have to have tests. And these are things, no American idioms. You know what I mean? And we're getting used to that. We can't say, hey, that's cool. That's neat. How do you translate that into Chinese, into Spanish, into Moldovan? How do you translate those things? Right now, I'm in the process of working on a class for a subject that has come out. I won't share it. It's a controversial subject. And I'm studying on this like I'm back in grad school. I wish I was watching television and eating bonbons. Life's busy, unless you're a bone. There's a lot going on. Okay? Fear the Lord, for it's the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. Psalm 145, 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Psalm 147, 14. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 23, 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners. It's sad when that happens in churches. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Man, oh man, we need to fear the Lord. That's the first thing it says. Fear God and keep his commandments. Now here's our actions. We have to think right to act right. You understand what I mean? You know, we can act right, but our heart not be in it. But for it to truly be right, we have to think right to act right. Our motives. Turn over. I've got you in Matthew 22, if I'm not mistaken. On the way there, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever we do, we're to do it to the glory of God. And it doesn't say whether you go to church or whether you read your Bible or whether you go soul winning. It says whether you eat or drink, just common things. Do it to the glory of God. Yesterday, I was edging my walkway. I burned the motor out in the edger. I was happy that I got to quit. But I wasn't excited for why, you understand? And the thoughts in my mind and the glory of God weren't exactly close together there for a few minutes. And I went to Fleet Farm to buy a new edger. They didn't have what I was after, so I came home with a flat-ended shovel. That's going to be my edger for June to finish it tomorrow. Whatever you do, and by the way, if she does, I'll have pictures for you next Sunday. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. All of it. Now, look at Matthew chapter 22. You know, it starts off, and then not quite halfway through, but close to halfway through, these guys, they try to trip Jesus up. Imagine that. Teachers have had that happen to them where a kid tries to trick them. But here we are. They're trying to trick Jesus. And the Herodians come, and they basically, in modern English, they say, should you pay your taxes? Don't you wish he would have said no? He said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, unto God that which is God's. And then the Sadducees, who do not believe in the resurrection, came and asked Jesus a question about the resurrection. And they said, you know, if this guy's wife dies with no children and she marries the next guy, their brother, and he dies and no children and marries the third and the fourth, all the way down to the seventh, whose husband is she going to be after the resurrection? Jesus said, ye do err, therefore, not knowing the scriptures. And the same applies to us. We err when we don't know the scriptures. And then a lawyer comes. Now, my oldest daughter's husband is a lawyer. I always give it to him. It's a lawyer. Kind of strokes his chin. You can see it. What's a great commandment? And he just knows Jesus is going to pick one out of the Ten Commandments. And look at verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Verse 40 to me, I still have trouble getting by that. All the laws, all the commandments hang on love God supremely and love your neighbor. Think about that. We are to love as Jesus loves. Now, there are family and there are friends that's easy to do, right? Maybe you don't have any family and friends you love. I don't know. Okay, let's try that again. There are some family and friends that's easy to do. All right, not a very friendly group. Okay. But there are some people that you have trouble not loving. I have a friend that pastored for years in Michigan that said this, said the gospel light attracts some strange bugs. And, and it does. And every one of you here has one of those strange bugs faces in your mind. But you know what really is kind of humbling? Somebody has us in their mind as a strange bug. But we're to love as Jesus loves. How easy is that one? That's not real easy. Love God supremely and love mankind. That is what God expects us to do, to love. Where we live in Plymouth, in the old part of town where we live, most people share driveways. And we share a driveway with a neighbor. And it's never really been a problem. The first guy that was there when we moved, great neighbor, he'd snow plow half the time, I'd snow plow half the time. We just did it. Next guy, he never hardly snow plowed because of when he had to go to work, but I did it, but he mowed my yard all the time. I didn't ask him to, he just did. The guy that's there now, you understand what I'm saying? He doesn't mow his yard very often, let alone mine. He does very little snow removal. I got to keep a good spirit, right? Amen? They've lived there about 2 years. She has spoken to me one time. And you all know how shy I am. I'm supposed to love them like I did the other ones. You know what I'm saying? Love. We understand this. And now here's our marching orders. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Our motive. Now here's our marching orders. It's a great commission. Most everyone here is familiar with the Great Commission. But take a look there, beginning in verse 8. And Jesus, and this is after his resurrection, Jesus come forth victorious over death in the grave. And he says, he came and he spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even at the end of the world. Is the Great Commission for the church today? Is it? Amen? Okay. Is it for believers today? Amen? Let me ask you a question. What did you do last week to help fulfill the Great Commission? Well, preacher, there's a pandemic. You can't talk to people. You got to wear a mask. You got to stay 60 miles away from everybody. Unless it's a protest. There's no addendum that says even during pandemics we can't do it. We may have to be a little more ingenuitive, put a little more thought behind it. You understand what I'm saying? But what did you do last week? Let me ask you a question. Did you put more time in on social media than you did the Great Commission? You know what's amazing? In the early church, they reached the entire known world with the gospel. The entire known world with the gospel. In China, people witnessed. You know what happens to you for witnessing in China? It's not good. And the gospel is thriving there. Thriving. People being saved all the time. And there's other places in the world that are just like that. But it's not in America with all our freedoms. You know why? We don't trust God. We trust government. We trust our job. We don't trust the Lord like we should. We read the Great Commission, and in verse 19 we see the word teach, and in verse 20 we see the word teaching. They're not the same words in the original. The first one deals with soul winning. The second one is like a teacher teaching a student. It's imparting knowledge. And you say, wow, that's me. I'm going to do that. Well, if you don't win somebody to the Lord, who are you going to teach? Amen? Okay? That's our marching orders. We're to fear God, and we're to keep His commandments. Right? Right? You don't want me to go down there again, do you? We're to fear God, and we're to keep His commandments. For this is the partial duty of man. It's the whole duty of man. How are we doing on that? I mean, we know each other, but we don't see each other all the time. You know, what's in our hearts? What's in our motives? What's in our actions? Do we really fear God? Do we keep His commandments? This is not, did I get a speeding ticket? Have I been arrested? This is not, do I throw a fit when I don't get my way? This is, are we fearing God and keeping His commandments? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the message of it and its clarity. And God, I pray that You will help us to be honest with You and with ourselves about our needs. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'll be the only one looking, heads bowed, eyes closed. Would there be someone who'd say, you know, preacher, the Lord has challenged me in some areas of my life here this morning. Here is my hand. Pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Men, women, from the front to the back, would there be anybody else? Now, we're not going to give a regular invitation this morning, but I pray that this will not just be a hand rising, but that this will be a time of change and challenge in your heart. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these that have responded. And Lord, I pray that You would do the work in their lives that only You can do. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love. We pray Your blessing now on the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen.